Our resident college football expert, Braden Gall, now joins us to continue some of the talk about the Vols, and we'll get into the to the Crimson Tide as well. But, Braden, you know, we've been talking about the Vols' expectations for the last segment and kind of where they are now compared to where they were at this time last year. And it's night and day where the fans sit on this team. And it's funny, we were looking at the schedule. I mean, they could end up with the same amount of regular season wins as they did last year.
Yeah, no question. First of all, shout out, Ryan, to your production team for excellent choice of Sturgill there. I'm a big fan. So that just gets me in the mood to yell and scream about Tennessee football. So I think the fans, what's weird about this is the fans all feel aligned. I'm just not sure if the fans are correct. And they're correct in that they deserve to have expectations. They're correct in that they believe that Tennessee football should achieve at a certain level, which is competing for SEC championships on a relatively regular basis, getting to Atlanta on some semblance of a regular basis, whatever that may mean, basically every 3 years if you're splitting it between Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee. So that's okay. That's good. That's right. The question is whether or not that's fair expectation for this particular team, and whether or not that sort of just ignores everything that Butch Jones has accomplished. We've talked, and nobody has the answer, is Butch Jones topped out where he's at? This year will kind of be a lesson on that. If they take a first-year starting quarterback and sort of a rebuilt coaching staff in a year where they're not picked to win, and they go on and get to they win the division and get to Atlanta, then I think the fan base quiets down a little bit about whether or not Butch Jones can take them to the next step. If he just sort of achieves, as we say on Braden and Fitz, if you just sort of achieve and you get to 7-5 or 8-4, Vegas has the line set at 7-5. If they go over, which technically would be beating the Vegas bet, but if they go 8-4, fans aren't going to necessarily view that as overachievement. I mean, it may depend on how they look. If, you know, if you're losing 56-10 to Alabama every time, then that's not going to look good. But it may depend on how you get to that 8-4 as to whether or not Butch Jones is you know, relieved of his duties in December of 2017, as we've talked about many times.
Braden, what are your thoughts about, I mean, we all know the talk leading up to last year. And, I mean, we all know that Butch and his group can recruit with anybody in the country. What are your thoughts as to how you can work and get to a point where the expectations are back at, you know, 8, 9, 10 wins, whatever that number was going to be, and then the next year not have him right back up there with his recruiting and, you know, because every year it seems like they come out with a top five class.
Yeah, and that, obviously last year I think they were like 16 or 17, but your point is if you average it out over a 4 or 5 year window, if you're in the top 10, you're going to have expectations. And the problem with the SEC is that when you finish with the 15th best class in America, you're probably seventh in the SEC. Like, that's the problem with the SEC, is that you can recruit a top 20 class every year and not even be top five in your own league. And that's sort of the issue with Tennessee. So it sort of matters where those pieces are. I'm a big believer when I analyze teams in the preseason and I look at rosters and I try to project, certainly everything goes into it, schedules, talent, recruiting, you know, all that stuff. But just sort of at its core, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this as a former personnel guy. Offensive line, defensive line, quarterback, and head coach. If you give me strength at those four positions, I feel really comfortable going into the season. We can find other people to play other positions, but those four things, the head coach, the quarterback, and the two lines of scrimmage, you got to have strength there. And Tennessee has a total unknown on the defensive line and a pretty big unknown at the quarterback position, and also the question mark, of course, about the head coach. So all those things could be answered this year. And things could fall into place to where the expectations of the recruiting rankings, like you're talking about, sort of mesh. I think the fact that he's recruited at a high level has sort of changed the expectation for the program in general. I mean, that's why 9-4 was considered a disappointment last year, even though 9-4 would have been a dream come true 5 years ago. So because he's rebuilt the roster so quickly in a four-year window, I think that's where those expectations come from. The team has been way more competitive. They've won good games, and they've lost some against teams that they had no business competing against, namely 2 years ago Alabama and Oklahoma, two playoff teams that they almost beat. So, and then Florida, of course, they almost beat down in the swamp, and that was the SEC East champion. So, I mean, this team has been very close. Butch needs to get them over the hump, and I this year is not the year that it sets up for all of that, which is maybe it works in their favor. Maybe the locker room is sort of not disrespected, but maybe there's an element of, hey, nobody's really looking at us, paying attention to us. We're a little bit more sort of in line and organized and a little bit, you know, new coaching staff, all that stuff. Next year, if they've got a quarterback that's been settled, and Garitano's the guy as a redshirt freshman by the end of the year, and he comes into next year, there'll be a ton of hype around whoever the starting quarterback could be, especially if it's Jarrett Garitano, the young kid. If he cements himself as a starter, he's got a chance to be a big-time player, and then all of a sudden expectations go through the roof again next year.
Would you, in your mind, and I heard your show this morning, and you guys were talking about, you kind of took the SEC and broke it into, you know, bowl teams, and I forget what the upper echelon teams were, but you had LSU and Georgia and Alabama, and would those schools have the same patience that we're expecting at Tennessee?
No, but I don't think there's that patience at Tennessee either. I mean, I think Tennessee's as bloodthirsty as it gets. And to your point, it's LSU was very, I mean, you could argue pretty patient with Les Miles. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, shenanigans, it seemed, every single year on the field where you just go, come on, Les, seriously, what are you doing? And the guy still won 77% of his games. So it wasn't good enough to beat Bama, so eventually the natives got restless and kicked him out. I mean, Mark Richt had a long leash at Georgia. His last SEC championship was 2005, and he went, you know, basically whatever it was, 10, 11 years without an SEC title. Georgia is a little. Georgia maybe the one program that's a little more chill. The fans don't seem to be completely bonkers, insane like they do at Alabama, LSU, A&M. The reason I list those top seven the way I do, which is Auburn, Alabama, A&M, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, those are the seven teams in the history of the sport that have won national titles, that compete for national championships. Arkansas used to be in that group, but now is fighting an uphill battle. It's like the fifth program sort of in the West. So Arkansas is maybe the one that you could slide upward if you wanted to, but it's not necessarily. I mean, you got to win SEC championships regularly to be sort of considered in that mold. And programs like Ole Miss have never even been there. Kentucky has never been there. South Carolina's been there once, and it was a five-loss team. So that upper echelon, that upper tier, the depth in that tier is what makes the SEC different than every other league. It's just there's six or seven teams that are on that tier in the SEC in any given year, not regularly, but in any given year. And every other league has two or three teams that are on that tier.
Braden Gall is with us here on Jared and the GM. You can listen to Braden and Jason Fitz every morning on ESPN 102.5 The Game from 6 to 10 a.m. And Braden, you guys spent a lot of time this morning talking about Alabama as well and kind of their impact on the SEC. How have you seen Nick Saban alter the landscape this decade in terms of, you know, every team now is hiring or firing coaches with the mindset of trying to beat Alabama?
Well, and it's 100% that, and we've got major question marks now all over the SEC because of it. We've lost legends in the process with Steve Spurrier leaving and, you know, Mark Richt leaving, guys that are, you know, Gary Pinkel's the winningest coach in Missouri history, and I'm not saying Nick Saban physically, you know, like technically got him out of there, but they did get smoked in an SEC championship game, so, and he obviously had his own, he's got his health issues to deal with, but you just look around, and it's not even just that they're firing head coaches. It's the way business is run now. Nick Saban has totally changed the recruiting calendar. Nick Saban has totally changed the way you hire support staff around your coaching staff. I mean, he's got like six guys that were fired as head coaches that are working for free on that buyout money, just hanging around the facility helping to game plan for him. So, I mean, he's got a massive infrastructure of support, you know, he gets on a plane on a road game and has the film already handed to him on an iPad with complete breakdown of the game that just happened and the game that's about to take place. So, I mean, it's just – there's just – not that other teams don't have big support staffs and lots of money and technology. They do, but Nick Saban sets the bar. He's the one that's got 30 or 40 staffers working around him, and the recruiting calendar is – it's 365 for him. It's by the way, I've got the best players and I'm the best coach. I mean, he's pushed the envelope on everything and changed the way anybody does business if you want to compete. It's the same thing that Urban Meyer is doing to the Big Ten, and it ruffled a lot of feathers when he first got to Ohio State. Everybody up there was going, well, hey, this is not the way we recruit. And Urban Meyer's like, what are you talking about? This is how we've been doing it in the SEC for 70 years. Like, what are you talking about? There's no gentleman's agreement in recruiting. All's fair. And so I think he's sort of pulling the rest of the conference through the eye of the needle. The question is who can fit. And, you know, right now Dan Mullen might be the only guy that is from a coaching acumen standpoint, the only guy that I would even put in a category of, like, stable, good, excellent, high-quality coach in the SEC. Everybody else is still in prove-it mode.
He's Braden Gall. He's half of Braden and Fitz. You can tune in tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and hear what they got going on. Braden, what do you have planned?
We're actually going to look into this SEC coaching thing. We're going to, because the question has been raised so many times, who's actually on the hot seat? But who, and hot seat's an interesting term and everything, but who has the most pressure to win? And you can make the case for six or seven guys. And what it does is it also shines a light on a guy like Derek Mason, where Derek Mason might be one of the most stable coaches in the entire SEC, and that's not something we would have said last summer. So we got to do that as well. We're going to dive into some coaching ranks in the AFC South as well. So a lot of coaching stuff tomorrow on the program for sure. And I've been told you're the Rain Man, Porthy. So I've got to figure out if you've actually seen the movie Rain Man?
No, I haven't. You know, Darren keeps calling me Rain Man, and I've never seen the movie. So
it's a brilliant, brilliant movie. And there's 246 toothpicks on the floor.
Yeah, and
okay.
There's
246.
You know, there's also 246 movies that I have to see, apparently. So
that's absolutely true.
Braden, thanks for joining us. We'll be tuning in tomorrow morning.
Yeah, guys.
Thanks, Braden.
He is Braden Gall, one of the best college football minds that you can pick out anywhere. And yes, Floyd, I have not seen Rain Man.